Hello, and welcome to the Perfect Bound Podcast. Tonight, we're celebrating a very special Manos episode. That's right, we're going to be spending the entire time tonight talking about Manos, The Hands of Fate, purportedly the worst film ever made. So, bear with me a moment. I'm going to do a little bit of talking, and then I'm going to do a little bit of introduction, and then we're going to talk about the mythology of this strange and wonderful film. The story starts in 1966 in El Paso, Texas, when a salesman and community theater actor Hal Warren purportedly bet TV producer Sterling Silliphant of Route 66 fame that anyone could make a movie. And with his own script in hand, Warren wrangled a handful of well-meaning talent from the local theater community and set to work directing his debut opus, Manos, The Hands of Fate. A film, as I said, would ultimately oust from popular consciousness Ed Wood's epic crime against humanity, Plan 9 from Outer Space, as the worst film ever made. And one El Paso native cast in the film was artist and actor Tom Naiman. Another was his six-year-old daughter, Jackie. Now, Jackie's recently published her memoir about making Manos, as well as discussing her part in the greater Manos mythology. The book's called Growing Up with Manos, The Hands of Fate. And it's co-written by Laura Mazuka Toops and published by Bear Manor Media. But before we take another step, I'd like to go around the table, and because not only is Jackie with us, but two other brilliant women who've been instrumental in making the world a better place through Manos, we have local film director Tanya Tomic, along with the creative powerhouse behind Vox Fabuli Puppets, Rachel Jackson. I always pause because I think, did I pronounce that wrong again? Vox Fabuli.
Yes, you did.
I did it again. Oh, man, my life is just miserable.
But I thought it was like a dramatic pause before my name.
No, it's just a dramatic pause because there's air going through the pockets in my brain. All right, for those unfamiliar with the plot, Manos tells the story of a young couple who take their little girl, Debbie, played by Jackie. Jackie, we have you on Skype, don't we?
Yes, we do. Hi.
Let's say hi to Jackie Naiman Jones. Jackie, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
You're welcome. And by the way, this is my real voice.
And you know, it's awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. So let me just give you a little, in case you're not familiar with this film, it's got a weird little plot. It's a story of an ill-fated road trip where there's a young couple and a puppy and Debbie played by Jackie. And they wind up captive by an occult polygamous death cult led by a gentleman called the Master. The Master is played by Jackie's father, Tom. And there's a creepy guy in a really cool caftan, who is a creepy guy in this really cool caftan. And he's assisted by the film's most famous character in my heart, the waddling, wobbly, trembly sycophant named Torgo. So I need to talk less and invite you all into the conversation more. So Jackie, can you give us a little bit of an overview of how Manos became part of your life?
Yeah, well, my dad was kind of the rock star of El Paso theater back in the 60s. And Hal Warren and most of the other people that ended up in Manos were also part of the theater group in El Paso at the festival. And Hal Warren had written a script, and he invited my father to play the lead. And also my dad was an artist, so he also invited him to create all the artwork and the sets and the costumes for the film. And my father had a big, beautiful Doberman and a small child, which was convenient to Hal as well. So that's how our family got involved in it. My mother ended up sewing the costumes, and a lot of the furniture in the house was ours. And, you know, I mean, I always said that to me, it really was a family film for my family.
Exactly. So the film screened in 1966. And then pretty much fell into obscurity. Am I not mistaken?
It did. I mean,
or disappeared.
It's just no surprise to anybody that it was pretty bad. And we knew it back then. Everybody knew it. Even the six-year-old child knew it. And so after the premiere, instantly after the premiere, everybody just kind of scattered and tried to forget about it. But it disappeared for 27 years, and I had never forgotten about it. I held on tightly to those stories because they were such an important time in my childhood. And 27 years go by, and it pops up on Mystery Science Theater. My dad, who was a MST fan, happened to be watching one afternoon, and there he was, and there it was, and you know, the rest is kind of history. In fact, a lot has happened since then, a lot.
And one of the coolest things about Jackie's new book is that Joel Hodgson actually did, Joel Hodgson of Mystery Science Theater fame actually did the foreword for the book. And he admits himself that, you know, their riff on Manos, the Hands of Fate is not necessarily one of their better episodes, but for some reason it helped launch this film into public consciousness from 1993 on. So can you tell the story? I know you kind of, I love the story of your dad discovering the episode. He was like, I've always imagined him lying, reclining in like his Barco lounge or dozing, you know, in the afternoon and with the TV on, because that's what I used to do.
That's actually really quite accurate. it was his day off, and he was dozing in his easy chair on a rainy coastal Oregon, you know, Saturday afternoon. It was in January. Right. So he was just kind of dozing off, and all of a sudden this music entered his consciousness that was familiar, and he opened his eyes and saw himself. And so he just sat there in fascination until it was over, and then he called me. I was living in Northern California at the time with my young son and my husband. And of course it was over at that time. But I knew it was on Comedy Central. So I turned on the channel, and there's an 800 number in the bottom corner of the screen. So I called that number that afternoon, and some young man named Matthew told me he was in the HBO offices in Manhattan. And that I told him, you just played a film that my family was part of, and I was wondering if there's any chance we could get a copy. And he asked the name of it, and I told him, and there was this long pause, and I thought he'd hung up or we were disconnected. My heart was just beating. I thought, this is my only chance. And then he says, oh, my God, are you Debbie? And that's how it began. I was just floored. He told me that he had just had it on his desk the week before, and that it was their favorite bad movie in the HBO offices. And then he sent me a bootleg copy.
Jackie, this is Ben. I have a question for you. Before the whole Mystery Science Theater thing blew up, what was life like in terms of having this film in your family? Did you guys like watch it every Christmas, or did you just forget about it? Was it just this weird thing that you did in your childhood, and like everybody just kind of forgot about it, like some weird family vacation that nobody ever talks about?
Yeah, well, it was something that, you know, it was a blip in my family's life, because my dad was so creative. He had his hands literally in so many different projects, his art and his sculpture and acting and being a director of the Boys Club. And my mother was a teacher. So, you know, they're busy people. But for me as a child, you know, I just adored my dad. And I loved every moment I spent at the theater or anything that he was doing in his studio. So I soaked every second of it up like a sponge. And when it was over and it just disappeared and nobody talked about it, we didn't have a copy. These are the 60s, you know, it was on 16 millimeter. So we didn't, you know, we never saw it again. In fact, Warren kept my dad's, the robe that my mother made, and he kept the painting that my dad made. He kept, you know, the artwork. He kept everything. So you know, that everybody just forgot about it but me. And my friends that I'm still friends with from high school remember me telling stories about it. I kept it alive in through stories and just thinking that I would never experience it again. It was such a special time. And so when it came back, I, you know, and I got that bootleg copy from HBO, I watched it by myself because nobody wanted to watch it with me. And then I just tucked it away in a drawer and I was happy. I thought, I found it. It's done. I found it. I'm happy.
Was it a clean copy without the Mystery Science Theater commentary on it that you watched, that they sent to you?
Let me think. No, it was the Mystery Science Theater copy.
So the first time you watched that movie in like 20 years was the Mystery Science Theater version?
Yeah, 27 years. Uh-huh.
Crazy.
Yeah, Jackie, it was great. I mean, I laughed. I thought it was great. And you know what was interesting watching it? I mean, you know, imagining that the MST guys weren't there, but it really was just how I remembered it. I mean, it turns out in writing my book and finding people and interviewing people and doing research, it turns out my six-year-old memories are really quite accurate. They're definitely a child's view, but they're accurate.
Right.
Hi, Jackie. This is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. Just a quick question. You mentioned the painting, and I suddenly flashed because that was one of the first Mystery Science Theaters I ever watched. So that painting is something it stands out. Where is the painting now?
Hal Warren's son still has it. Joe Warren.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, I'll never see it again.
Oh. Never say never.
Yeah.
No, believe me, when he's something else. Yeah.
Let's move on to these two amazing ladies that are sitting across from us here, Rachel and Tanya. Rachel, I would like you to tell about your entry point into the Manos mythology.
Oh gosh, well, it started as most things with me do, with a really bad joke. I mean, like Chris, actually, I remember seeing Manos on Mystery Science Theater originally, and it stuck with me because of the really cool poncho with the giant red hands on it. So much so that I got a copy of it later on DVD. My husband Bob and I were riffing one night, as you do, puppetizing the names of movies. And I looked down and saw...
I'm sorry, puppetizing?
Puppetizing. Oh, uh-huh. I'm a puppeteer. So it was just punning, basically.
Of Vox Fabulae.
Yes, I'm a puppet.
Okay, I have closure now.
I invented a puppet company that with a name no one can pronounce. That's me.
No, just Cole. It's just me.
So I looked down and said, "Ooh, Manos, the hands of felt." Ha ha ha! Very funny. Not really that funny, but it really stuck in my head, and I suddenly got this vision of the master in Muppet form, which he's on my lap right now.
I always had this fever, this image of this fever dream. You wake up in the night and you've had puppet musical images prancing through your head.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then what happened?
Well, yeah, because
after the fever dream.
After the fever dream. After the fever dream, I decided to write this thing. Because I don't like to do anything uncomplicated, because I'm crazy like that, I decided to, instead of just puppetizing Manos, the Hands of Fate, I decided to combine it with the making of. That's in quotes. You can't see that. This is recorded.
So to make it a meta story.
Yes, yes, okay. Because that's the thing. I find how this movie got made a bazillion times more fascinating than the actual movie.
As
weird as it is.
In reading I'm sorry, Jackie, I'm going to talk about you like you're not here. In reading her book.
I should have brought the Jackie puppet. Then you would know she was here.
Was the story behind the story, because that always fascinates me.
Yeah.
And that's a really good point. That's what I loved about Hands of Felt, was that meta, it's not really quite the right word, but peek behind the curtain aspect of the story.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So the initial run that you had of that play was pretty successful. You made a lot of people happy. You had some good turnout.
Yeah.
And then you decided you wanted to do something really wacky.
Yeah. Well, it was weird. The year normally, I don't know if your listeners do theater, but normally you do a show and then it dies. I mean, you never visit it again. You just remember it fondly when you drink.
Well, sometimes you drink during it as well.
True. Yeah, drinking is a very important part of the theater process. But the year after we ran it, all of a sudden I got a text from Mike Robles, who played Hal in our first run, uh-huh. that was like, "Oh my God, we're on Topless Robot. Get online right now." And Topless Robot had found one of the clips of the scenes from our original run, because we'd filmed it and just put a few scenes on YouTube, uh-huh. like you do for fun. And they'd found it and loved it. They were just like, some hero has made a musical puppet version of Manos, and we want to see more.
I didn't know that part of the story.
Oh,
did
you didn't
know that part of the story?
Thank you.
Yeah, I knew all of that, yeah. actually. I didn't.
You are an archive for humanity. That's what you are.
Don't put that pressure on me.
So anyway. Then that story got picked up by a couple of other online geek sources, uh-huh. and people were like, you should tour this, you should do this, you should do that, and I'm like, okay, I don't know how to tour. That sounds complicated. But I did know people who knew how to make films.
Right.
So, and this about the same time Kickstarter was just kind of right. starting. So I said, okay, why don't we try kickstarting this and just make it sort of a pre-sale of the movie? Not go crazy with special rewards, but just basically be like, we want to make this. If you want to own it, give us money now and you can have it.
Right.
And we
right.
figured if that fails, then we shouldn't make it, because then we'd have big boxes of DVDs in our garage, and right. that would suck. But it was successful. Yay!
Well, but one of the reasons it was successful, it was what? Memorial Day weekend?
Yes.
It's Memorial Day weekend. Rachel is sitting on the stoop of a home of a mutual friend.
Drinking was
Cole
happening.
Cole is sitting on the railing, and she's sitting there twiddling with her phone, looking at her Kickstarter.
Can I say something? If you've ever run a Kickstarter, you know this disease. It's
right.
like, while your Kickstarter is going on, you cannot leave it alone.
And this particular disease left Rachel. This particular disease left Rachel with a severe skin discoloration, because I watched her go from red to white to purple. I think there was a shade of magenta, then back to normal. I said, Rachel, dear Rachel, pray tell, what is happening to you right now? What is going on? And Rachel responded with,
Will Wheaton just tweeted my Kickstarter.
Boom.
And we were funded within 12 hours.
It was just like, she forgot how to breathe there
yes,
for a while.
Of course.
So, yeah. So the Kickstarter happened. You made a video of Manos the Hands of Felt. But in the interim time, and Jackie, maybe you can help me out here with this, a young man got his hands on the original master print of Manos.
Yeah, Ben Salove, is a 16mm film enthusiast, and he bought a box of film from the grandson of Emerson, who was the original distributor of Manos the Hands of Fate. And he didn't know Manos was in it, but he wanted to buy this. And he started looking through, and he saw just a couple titles he wanted. And so he ended up buying it, but he had to buy the whole box. Turned out that the Manos that was in it wasn't just any film. It was the actual work print that had gone through the camera in 1966. And so it's just kind of an amazing miracle that here's just the right guy to get his hands on this that knew what to do with it. So he decided to do a Kickstarter to raise funds to restore it, and he did, and he went way past his initial goal, and he ended up at $48,000, which allowed him to restore it more fully, and it's actually now in the film archives. It's treated with the same the same treatment as any Academy Award film.
The same reverence as Lawrence of Arabia.
Exactly. Yes, it is.
They're both
Tanya,
in the
you're
desert.
Sitting, you're sitting over there shaking your head about this. Was there something that was going through your mind?
People should not be handling this print with white gloves.
I just heard multiple comments from different people about how they're waiting for the Criterion Collection version. Yeah. Things like that. Although the restoration, I think, is the version that people should be looking to. But.
So I went to SIFF to see the restoration, to see and also to support Rachel and my other friends that were in the redux of Hands of Felt. And I sat there the whole time asking myself and the universe, this is remastered.
Did it look any better? Did it look different?
I saw nothing. I mean, I guess the colors were brighter, but I think that was the one positive critique of the original film release, wasn't it, Jackie, that at least it had nice colors?
Yeah, and the truth is, if you look at, you know, like the MST 3 versions are basically copies of copies, you know, it's
right,
like
yeah,
looking through a murky pond bottom. But the remastered version is actually cleaner than it was when we saw it at the premiere in 1966 for the first time.
Oh, is that right? That's great.
Yeah.
I saw a quote today online. I wish I could remember where I saw it, but it was somebody, it's probably connected to the Mystery Science Theater 3000 world, saying that the film, every frame of the film looks like the last photograph you ever see of somebody.
Yeah,
it is my favorite
last
quote.
Photograph.
Yeah, it looks
yeah.
like
yeah, last one photograph.
The restoration, to me, I mean, I've seen versions of the film multiple times. Very different, all different versions. The restoration is, it's brighter, mm-hmm. it's clearer. Well, for example, we just saw the restoration on the big screen at the Blue Mouse mm-hmm. Theater, mm-hmm. and So Hal wears a sweater, which I always thought had navy blue piping, and we watched the restoration version on the big screen, and it's actually navy blue and red, and I'd never wow. noticed the red before.
Here's the thing, Tanya. Now we care about these things. We care about these little details.
Well,
that's just wrong.
Well, Jackie can tell you some of the funny things that
right.
the restoration shows.
Okay,
yeah.
Were you gonna
like
here? Go ahead,
here's
Jackie.
A significant detail: is the scene where my dad, the master, lights Torgo's hand on fire, and Torgo runs off into the desert with his arm on fire, and mm-hmm. and the master's holding the hand up and laughing. Well, if you look just behind him at the base of the column, you'll see the can of lighter fluid.
Yeah, something you couldn't see in the original.
Yeah, and you can see the headlights in the background on the road when they're 10 miles from anywhere. And then the last time we saw it, when we were watching the Blue Mouse, I saw something I'd never seen before, is the telephone wires right over the house.
Oh.
Like, you know,
yeah.
the phone's
Excellent.
10 miles away, but there's the wires.
So since the rediscovery and let's call it the Manos Renaissance.
Manaissance.
Thank you, Ben Lawrence. The Manaissance. There have been multiple points of inspiration. There have been musicals, a live stage show. There have been a couple of films. But the one that we at this table care about is an upcoming production called Manos Returns, directed by Tanya Atomic. So Tanya, let's loop you into this process. How did you get involved with these crazy people?
Well, how I actually got involved is a friend of mine who I worked on another film. He knew Jackie and was like, hey, I met Jackie. She was in this movie called Manos Hands of Fate, which I knew through Rachel because of Manos Hands of Felt,
right.
and said, hey, Jackie's really nice. I think you guys would really have a rapport. You should meet her. And so I did via Facebook, and we started talking. And she was working on this idea for doing her own sequel. And I just kind of put it like, hey, look at my stuff if you're interested mm-hmm, in me mm-hmm. for the director. And this is who I am. We were getting to know each other. And she liked my stuff. She liked what I did and where I was coming from and thought I had the kind of the right idea and wanted me as the director. And I didn't realize that Rachel and Jackie knew each other.
Uh-huh.
even though we had known each other for like 10 years or something, I want to say.
Yeah.
But
this
web
interconnectivity gets better as we go along.
Yeah.
We'll get back to that. But yeah.
Yeah. So that was another thing. And Jackie, I believe, had already talked to Joe Sherlock, who is our director of photography, and they had already decided that they were going to do this project together. And Joe and I knew each other, too, from totally different place as well. And I was like, hey, you already know my friends, and they can vouch for me, and if you need a reference. And so that's how I got involved in the movie.
Now, the three of you, Tanya, Rachel, and Jackie, wound up collaborating on the script. Is that right?
Yes.
And my recollection in talking to all three of you at one point or another was, well, we want to tell a good story, we want to tell a compelling story, but we also want to pay sort of homage to where this came from. Without giving the plot away, can you guys tell us what that process was like in putting that script together and what's going to be happening?
Yeah.
What's the tone?
Well, the process was amazing, really, because we did it mostly over... you know, with Google Docs and Skype and phone. And God, we just worked together so well. And
We actually only met together, I think, two times.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But otherwise, we were, doing Skype and Google Docs.
That sounds like a boatload of fun. I'm really envious. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and Google Docs made it great because you could trace everything. Like, sometimes we'd be there at the same time, but if we weren't, you could drop an idea and run away. No, but you could put an idea there, and then you'd come back and a whole scene would have been written off of it. It was kind of neat.
I like that part.
Yeah, like fairies or elves.
So, yeah. So all of a sudden a chunk would be there. And you'd be like,
The scripting elves have come by.
Yes.
Remind us when you wrapped shooting on Manos, because Rachel, you were actually in it as well, right?
Yes.
We were all in it.
You're all in it. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So, of course, Jackie's in it.
The thing about indie film, you wear a lot of hats. Yeah. Was it, a 10-day shooting schedule? Yeah, 10 days. 10 very, very, very busy days.
And Jackie, you actually play Little Debbie grown up, is that right?
Yeah, I play Big Debbie. I get to be.
I was setting you up for that comment. You know that, right?
Boss woman. Yeah, yeah.
Can you tell us
like
a little bit
of it,
about?
You know, Debbie. 50 years later, she's been raised by the Valley Lodge, and you can imagine she's not all that pleasant.
Or all that together.
Yeah.
So where are we at, Tanya, where are we at with post-production on Manos Returns?
We're getting close. There's just a few more steps. We have the rough cut done. We're just polishing it up now, so it's going to be soon.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Where can people follow to find out where this is in production?
Probably the best place is our Facebook page. It's just Manos Returns. We have a Twitter, Manos Returns, and Instagram, where we have done behind-the-scenes photos and some of our get-togethers and things. Everything's just Manos Returns. We have a website, manosreturns.com. But we tend to update news mostly on our Facebook.
Yeah, although I will add, our Kickstarter backers get the most thorough news.
This is true
because they gave us the money to make it happen.
That's right.
So if there are details, they get them
putting out that stuff. And she again, I talk about you like you're not here. I loved getting like the music and those sorts of updates. And Jackie, you also handmade a bunch of things too. Did you not?
I did, just in the spirit of my father. I did the artwork, and I did design the costumes, the look of the film, and it was just a pleasure to do that. And I want to say that my motivation initially for doing this film in the first place was that a few years ago, we were invited to do a sequel that never completed, and my dad was part of that. And so was the sheriff's son, Brian Jennings, and Diane Marie, who played my mother. And mm-hmm. I always felt bad that project never got completed. And so I wanted to do something that included all those people so that they'd have a chance to kind of bask in the love of Manos from all the fans. Because I've had the chance to interact with people mm-hmm. for a number of years, but none of them had. And I really especially wanted that for my dad. So I have to say that although he'll never get to see the film because he just passed away recently, but he had so much fun doing that. And the cast party where he came and all these people were waiting for him, my dad couldn't have looked happier if he'd been walking the red carpet at the Academy Awards. It was one of the most the greatest shining moments of his later days. So if for nothing else, I'm glad we did it. But I'm very proud of what we've done. We are our cast, our crew. It was magic. It truly is the will of Manos. And the fact that we could get this thing done in 10 days mm-hmm. is remarkable. And the only way that happened was because of this particular group of people working so well together and an amazing array of things just falling into place. Really miraculous.
Every single person went above and beyond to make this project amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't have anyone slacking or just coming in and doing their thing and leaving. Everybody did more than we expected, mm-hmm. More than we asked for from them, and it really, I think, is going to show in the final product.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Jackie, one last thing. Where can people find your book, Growing Up with Manos, if they want to, on the internet?
It's published through Bear Manor Media. You can find it there or on Amazon.com, Growing Up with Manos, The Hands of Fate. And I'm proud to say it's got 5 stars on both Yay! Amazon and
Google. No, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Did I say that already? I loved reading it. I loved getting all the background details.
Thank you so much. And I just want to throw out that right now I'm exploring the idea of touring, going to screenings of Manos mm-hmm. Returns and speaking at colleges and universities. I'm talking to a couple places right now, and I actually have gender studies and sociology professors and interested. So I'm open to a number of types of presentations on the subject of Manos and pop culture.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm done.
Oh, I just wanted to see where people could contact you via social media if they wanted to.
Yeah, my Facebook, I have a Facebook page, Debbie's Manos. In fact, everything that I do is pretty much Debbie's Manos. I have a website. I have a blog, my blog spot, Debbie's Manos. So that's where you can find everything. And I would strongly suggest everybody go and read today's blog post, because something pretty important just happened, and we could use some help. And I don't want to, I just want to say that there's something going on, someone trying to get the trademark for the title, Manos, The Hands of Fate, and we are objecting to that, and we could use a little help making that happen. Mm-hmm. Just to ensure that Mono stays in public domain and is available for all of us to enjoy and create these amazing projects that bring us all together. Because it's all about the love of Manos.
Absolutely. Rachel, can folks still get their hands on DVDs of Manos, The Hands of Felt?
Oh, yeah, they sure can. And I should say where. I won't make you ask. You can digitally stream it on Amazon. You can also get an on-demand copy printed out if you like real space things from Amazon. Or if you go to puppetmanos.com, you can buy the super special edition with the cast commentary.
Ooh.
The not safe for children
is
cast
it
commentary.
The drinking one?
Yes. Yes,
wait,
we do.
I do believe that's the one I have in my sticky little fingers right now.
Most excellent. Yes, there was a lot of liquid ingested during that marvelous commentary track.
I love watching my friends get drunk on DVD. It's fascinating.
Hey,
okay, so we're hitting... We're getting to the end of the bumpy road to Valley Lodge here. I would just like to throw out a little personal tidbit here. Jackie, you and I had a personal connection that we recently discovered.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
The world is a small place.
My best friend from high school's mom reached out to me on Facebook a couple of months ago, Bonnie Ross, and Bonnie says, I know this lady. And she was in this really terrible movie when she was a little girl. And it was called Manos. And I was like, Bonnie, stop. I know Jackie. I met Jackie. I know this story. Whatever you need, I'm there. So, yeah, that's kind of how this all came together. But I also had this other affiliation through the Seattle theater community. Okay, so I just want to throw one more idea out here before we... close the door on Valley Lodge. Have I worn out that gag yet? Is that
no? Two more times, and then it'll be old.
There is no way out of here, Cole.
I mentioned
it'll
this earlier,
but
it will be dark soon. Oh, excuse me. I mentioned this earlier, but I want to come back to it. Joel Hodgson mentioned in the Mystery Science Theater episode guide book when he's talking about Manos, the Hands of Fate, that it's not one of their best, but still Manos endures and, amazingly enough, inspires. Can the three of you speak to why you think that is?
Because, okay, I'm just going to jump on that.
Yeah, go for it.
Because it's almost a good story. Like, it's...
Yes.
It has all the pieces of something that should be good.
Interesting, yeah.
But they just didn't have the skill to make that happen. And right. I think that's what hurts and makes you want to help it. And
I want to say that's what we are trying to do with Manos Returns. We wanted to take... Because we really... At first, we decided we wanted to have comedy elements in it. Which we thought was the right thing because of the fan base. And then we also decided we wanted to have it creepy and keep that kind of scary, weird element to it. And so we tried to blend that together. But we saw the potential and what could have been great about the original. And we wanted to kind of like rectify that and make our own film that was that. So that's what we are ultimately trying to do with our film.
Ben?
Yeah, I feel like all these years of analyzing it and talking to people, I still honestly have absolutely no idea. Except that I will say, I do have to say this, I'm very proud of this. It's if you can't be the best, make the most at being the worst. But the other thing is, on Turkey Day this year, which just happened to be the very day after my dad's 81st birthday, the MST3K Turkey Day, Joel Hodgson and Jonah Ray publicly announced that Manos was voted as the fan favorite of all time for MST. So what does that say? I don't know, but there you go.
I don't know what to say.
Did you have some insight you
want to
share?
Actually, before we wrap up here, I just want to ask both Chris and Nicole, are there any comics that are considered like the worst, like the Manos of comics? Well, maybe like in an almost so bad it's good kind of way.
Oh, okay. You want it to be kind of good.
Because I know you just throw out Civil War.
I keep on thinking of the one that's all superheroes, but they're football players from the 80s, and that was utterly terrible, but people seem to look for it. Kickers, Inc.
Kickers, Inc.
Kickers, Inc.
Yeah. Boy, that was terrible.
It's hard to pinpoint because everyone has a different opinion about what's good and bad, right. So it would just maybe be like something that bombed horribly, maybe.
But I love this idea that we've been floating of how it's just the film is so close to being something good. It's just on the edge, and that's what intrigues us. Was there a comic book that was like that? Or a film that was like that? Or a property that was like that?
See, the stuff that always intrigues me are the really creepy, super religious ones. Not the chick tracks,
but the
ones that are like, how Hanzo learned to fear the swastika or something like that.
Yes.
And there's one of... I can't remember what it's called, but there's one where there's like a guy being threatened with a knife, and he's like, I want to cut you into pieces. And then the
run,
the priest,
baby, run.
Is that it?
That was it.
Because the priest is just like, you could cut me into a million pieces, but every piece will love you.
That's right.
Aww.
A bunch of those
that's so sweet.
Odd religious comics that are the kind of like, this is so terrible, we have to own it.
I had another little tidbit I've got to share, because I talked with Jackie about this, but there's another film out there that has not seen the light of day, another Manos-inspired film called Manos, The Rise of Torgo, that was done in 2015. As fate would have it, an old buddy of mine from the University of Oregon theater program is in it, playing a character called Visago. So I don't think, for my part, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to escape Manos. It's just going to always be there somewhere.
Manos. He's with us always.
He's with us always.
Why? That would be a good time to edit the Torgo theme music.
Yes, man, please do it.
Get it on that.
Oh, I want to thank you all for being here today. This was a special project that my compatriots at the Perfect Bound podcast said yes to, and I'm really grateful for that. Thank you, Tanya, for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you. That's great. I love Skype.
And we are going to keep our eyes on all the projects that these amazing women have coming to us soon.
Find our podcast on iTunes or go to perfectboundpodcast.com. Email us perfectboundpodcast@gmail.com. We are brought to you by the Comics Dungeon here at 319 Northeast 45th Street in beautiful downtown Wallingford, or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at comicsdungeon.com, and at from the Panel Jumper. See everything Cole Hornaday and I do at thepaneljumper.com. Thank you, everybody at the table. Cole's already said it. Thank you, Jackie. I just want to express my sincere appreciation that you came on the show with us and that everything worked. We didn't run into any technical difficulties. There's a whole mess the wires on the table over here, and I'm glad it's all working out.
It's the power of Manos.
Oh, man.
It's the power of Manos.
All right. Thank you all. We will see you next week.